Okay, so we're going to skip to the 12th parak, because we're stuck in the middle of the 11th parak before Pesach, and we lost the continuity. And the 12th parak is a bit of a breakthrough, because now we hear about Hillel and Shammai. So now we're transitioning to the great period of the Tanaim. Until now, we've had people that we have very few records of. Yehuda ben Tabbai, Shimon ben Shekhov, Nitai Har Bailey, Shimon Asorim, Shimon, I'm sure I can add to Shimon, one of the last remaining members of the Anshul Knesset Gedolah. Now we're discussing the prime era of the Tanaim, Hillel and Shammai. Remember, Hillel will teach Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who will teach Rabbi Ezra and Rabbi Yeshua, who will teach Rabbi Akiva, who will teach Rabbi Meir, who will teach Rabbi Danasi, who will teach Rabbi Chira, who will teach Rav. So this is really the main spurt of the Masara, at least in the Tanaim story. So there's a whole litany of statements in the name of Hillel, and a whole litany of statements in the name of Shammai, and the Mishnah will discuss each of them slowly. One of the statements which Hillel authored in the name, which Hillel authored, and it's ironic because sometimes you have people who issue statements about other people that tend to be autobiographical. So on Thursday, as we're looking since the yard side, I won't be here, I'll be in the United States teaching for a day, for Shabbos. So Rav Aaron would always tell us about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one of the great Gedolim of the past generation, and he would say it in Yiddish, that even if he weren't the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, as Vizayin the Shein Tzvi in Yerushalayim, would have been the nicest Jew in Yerushalayim. That's how kind of person he was. And even though he was, even if he weren't the biggest Talmud Chacham, would have been the nicest person you ever met on the street. We thought that when Rav Aaron said that about Shlomo Zalman, he was really speaking about himself, subconsciously, because that's how you can sum up Rav Lichtenstein. He was such a big Talmud Chacham, to those that knew him, he was such a kind and gentle and sweet and sincere person. So here's an example where Hillel says something about Aaron, but you can just as much say it about Hillel. What did Hillel say about Aaron? Aaron HaKohen, who was an Ohei Shalom and a Rodei Shalom. And that's who Hillel was, and we'll see this unfolding a bit later, that Aaron was in Ohev Shalom, Virodev Shalom, Mesim Shalom ben Ishla Ishto. He didn't just want to create peace on his own interactions, but he wanted to create peace and harmony in other people's lives, and especially marriages that were stressed. Ohev Asabrios and Mekarev Latar. He was a lover of human beings, and he also was great at Tira. So everything in this description stacks up. Except for one. He loved people, full of harmony, full of calm, tried to resolve conflict, tried to find solutions to strife, marriage counseling. This all makes sense. This all stacks up in our image of people. But then there's the Kiruv aspect. He also was part of Chabad, half of his life. We don't typically associate these two traits within one person. We've got the people who are social workers, do-gooders, trying to create harmony, trying to resolve conflict, and then we've got the ideologues, the people who are into Kiruv. And the answer is, and obviously Nelson will explain very quickly, that true Kiruv has to stem from care from someone. It's not something which stems solely from ideology. There's got to be an ideological component, but you have to be someone that cares about other people's lives. If I care about you, I care about your psychological health, I care about your material well-being, I care about your day-to-day, I care about our relationship. If I also care about religion, I care about your spiritual welfare. But it can't ever become dominated solely by ideology, that I'm pontificating and preaching and trying to convert you, and you're the sinner and I'm the righteous person. And it has to come. There's a lot of different elements to Kiruv that have gotten obscured by this very exciting and successful and historical Kiruv success over the last 30 years. Well, I'll give you an example. When you say the word Kiruv in Chutz La'aretz to someone, it's going on an NCSY or B'nai Akiva trip and teaching the natives and teaching the savages and using languages that are meant to be colorful. And you've got the truth, and we're going to convey the truth to them, and we're going to try to convert them and show them the light and illuminate their way. When you speak Kiruv to an Israeli, it's let's go live with our brothers in Bat Yam, or let's go live with our brothers in Yerucham. They're not from. They've lost some of their Masara. We have a lot to give them. But they have a lot to give us also, because they're Jews, and they may have certain traditions. Just to help you make this more concrete, I'll give you a generalization. Because I know a lot of friends of mine who went to this town called Yerucham, before it was so popular, to live in a town that was full of crime, and full of drugs, and full of prostitution, and very economically depressed, and living with a lot of Jews from different origins, including a lot of Sephardic Jews who at that point weren't yet classically religious. And they said, we're trying to give them certain traditions, but also when you look at the way that Sephardim do keep it up, it's quite frankly inspiring. When you look at the way that Sephardic Jews, even Jews that aren't from, but are Masorati. The way that they're Machnas Areach, it's so inspiring and different from the Ashkenazi routine that we have a lot to learn from them. So the same thing here. Aaron's Kirov didn't start from ideology. Aaron's Kirov started, he just cared about people. He loved people. He was a kind person. He was a considerate person. He was a mensch. He was compassionate. And it didn't just serve as the basis for his Kirov. It also served as the mechanics for his Kirov. It's very important. It's not just the basis, the reason he wanted to try to be Makariv people to Torah, but also the mechanics. How was Aaron Makariv? We don't have any record in the Mishnah, but in Avos Rebbeinu we have a record how he was Makariv. You're not going to hear a convention. You're not going to hear a Havdalah. You're not going to hear a great cheer. You're not going to hear a sitting down or opening Mar Nebuchim. Didn't exist yet, Mar Nebuchim. Listen to how Aaron was Makariv people. I'll read you the language, so you should listen carefully. He would say, Kishaya Aaron Mahalech Baderech. He was walking down the street one day, Hagabobi Adam Rasha. He saw an evil person. He saw a sinner. He saw someone who was a Rasha. What did he do? Scream at him? Lambast him? Deride him? No. Ignore him? Look the other way? If you have nothing good to say, don't say it, like my mom always said? No. What did he say? Nasan Lo Shalom. He was warned to. He's a Jew. He may be a Rasha. Maybe a sinner. But he's a Jew. He was warmed in. He made him feel like he cared about him. Not artificially. He really did care about people. The next day, Bikesh Oshahoish Lavar Avera. The next day, this Rasha was in his own room. He had an opportunity to perform an Avera. He says, I'm going to perform an Avera? I'm Aaron's best friend. I'm Aaron Akon's friend. How can I let him down? Bikesh Lavar Avera. I'm only. I'm going to look at Aaron in the eyes, embarrass Aaron, boasting, and I'll be embarrassed. Shalom, he's my friend. That was Aaron's kira. Said nothing, just one word, good morning. Didn't do anything extravagant, nothing dramatic. People want to care, people want to know how much you care before they care how much you know. It's an old adage. How much you care about them. And it shouldn't be something artificial. I don't really care about you, but I'll mock my interest that tomorrow you'll be able to accept my lesson. Some people feel empowered and trusted and expected of. You're my friend. I care about you, but that friendship carries expectations because I live a certain life. And to receive the benefits of my friendship, to live a certain lifestyle, not that I'll pull the plug, but there's a certain implicit or tacit assumption that friendship carries certain expectations of behavior. That's the most powerful hero. So keep that in mind. A lot of the, most of the boys that are here from South Africa and Australia will be going back to, it's like it's built into the program to be in Akiva Madrasa and to be involved in trying to help the next generation of kids make their way through. A lot of it, and some of you that have been the beneficiaries of Kira, if you probably respond to this, isn't just the great shir you heard by the great rabbi from Gush Etzion who visited me. That was part of it. It wasn't just the shir you heard, but simply people that cared about you. And he said, wow, that person is part of my life now. I've got to live up to those expectations. Have a good zman, everyone. Have a good zman. When you see Rashas today, I'm not going to tell you who the Rashas are. When you see the Rashas, make sure you say good morning.